right. So last week I left off, actually in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Isn't that a great thing we like to do? Who's the best? Who's the greatest preacher? I love it when I see preachers get together and that they're just vying for position. They're like a bunch of dogs nipping at each other, trying to prove how much better they are. These were the disciples. These were the men who Jesus handpicked. And they're fighting over who's the greatest. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, growing up, many of you had the same kind of experience. Seen and not heard is better. You sit there perfect. Don't you cause a stir. You be good. And for some of my siblings, that was a little harder. I was older. I could do that. The younger ones, not so much. So if you want to know why I give a little bit of grace, I look at the age. Now, if you've got a 10-year-old that's acting like a 4-year-old, you need to deal with the problem, because I got news for you. You got a problem in 5 more years. And I'm talking juvie, if you make it to that point. So Jesus is telling us, though, we must become as little children. He said be converted. That's a change. We're supposed to be converted anyhow, right? Somewhere along the line, I got saved. He said, be converted. We change from what we were to this. It was Phil. Oh, I snuck up on him. I didn't scare him, just so you know. But I could have. He was in here. I stood over in the door eating a banana. And he walked in the closet. I sat down in a chair. Then sat down in that chair, and then got up and sat in the sound booth eating my banana, and he came out and walked right by me. Well, he was over that aisle right there. Never saw me. And I really wasn't trying to be quiet coming in, but he couldn't hear me being in here. My spirit and my flesh went for all, and they were fighting hard. Do I scare the bejeebers out of him, or do I just... Well, I got up, threw my banana peel in his trash can that he just pushed there, ran down the door, opened the door, and let it slam so he could hear it, and came out. He thought I just got here. I could have scared him. It was a childish thing. I grew a little bit that day. But we have to look at all those things, how we act. That's just a little prank. I told him, I said, I really didn't want to have to do CPR today. So, you know, it was just one of those things. So the key to humility is to become as a child. Become as a child. Not act childish. In 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We all wanted our own way when we were children, didn't we? Oh, yeah, you did. You wanted this. You wanted that. No, mommy, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to go to sleep. That was my job with my little brother. I had to hold him in bed till he passed out, and then I got to get back up because I was older. But he didn't want to go to sleep. He just wanted to play. So what are some childish things? Here are some things that Psychology Today said are childish behavior. Acting in immature fashion. Okay, scaring people, that was childish. Blaming or insulting others. We all do the insulting. Don't pretend you don't. You knucklehead. Whatever word you prefer, you've insulted somebody. You can insult people because of their family. You can insult people because of their nationality. The great thing about the United States is, though, there's something that's supposed to change. And yes, we've seen people that refuse to. It's become Americans. I'm not Scottish American. I'm an American. Poor impulse control. An emotional childish behavior person may have poor impulse control and need to be the center of attention. How many of you just, somebody popped into your brain? You got somebody, and when you sit down, you're like, yeah, they've always got to be the center of attention. Not taking responsibility. They avoid taking responsibility for actions by laughing after doing something they know is wrong. I remember when I was a kid, I had to rake leaves. Not a big deal. Many kids rake leaves, right? I'm sure I'm in a good group here. But I was the only one to do it, and I had this big pile of leaves, and we were getting ready to move them. And our landlord showed up to the house, and his daughter got out of the car, ran to the leaves, and kicked them all over the yard. Needless to say, I wasn't exactly thrilled with her. But that was a very childish behavior that she acted in. Now here's one you may want to hold your toes back. Narcissism. People that think they're the only ones that matter. They only hear themselves and are emotionally brittle as a result. You believe you're the best thing to ever happen to the planet. Do you know the world will keep going without you tomorrow? That's reality. We keep marching on. Their mindset is that of a child called to dinner from playtime. They will pout, throw a fit, and try to give lame excuses as to why they couldn't come in. It's all about me and no one else counts. Some of you coaches may have had players like that throw fits. And their parents aren't any better, I can assure you, if they're allowing that. Because they're allowing that at home. Here's one. No observing ego. That is the no ability to see, acknowledge, and learn from their mistakes. You made me do it. They always blame other people for why they did something. I've been trying to teach you here lately. Yeah, you may have had reasons why you've acted out, but you did it. Nobody made you do it. You did it. Nobody held a gun to your head, said, do this or die. We don't do that. An example of a mature adult is somebody who loses their cool. And they realize they crossed the line. And they go back and make it right. The immature still thinks they're right. They cuss the person out. Maybe even hit them. Made them feel little. Yeah, that's real good. That's real mature. I'm not saying you're not going to have disagreements with people. But I'm talking about people with a hair trigger temper. They can't hear anything but themselves. And I've shared with you before, you believe every word you see, you speak. It comes out of your mouth, you believe it. How many of you remember the little song by Kenny Rogers, of the little boy in the bat? He picks the ball up, swings, misses. Third time around, he's like, man, I am the greatest. He kept saying that, right? I'm the greatest. Fortunately, he turned it around and said, I didn't know I could pitch that good. But the reality is, we think we're the best. Do you know there's a lot of different ways to do a lot of different things? Painting a wall. Some people have straight up and down motions. Some people, W's. Some people like to stand right up close to it. Some people like to use brushes or airless. That's fantastic. You get it done quicker. But there's different ways to paint that wall. Who's right? Who's to say who's right? Did you get it done? Does it look good? Then that's all that matters. I'll tell you, somebody who loves to paint detail, and that's Miss Trisha over here. She's up there touching. She painted walls. She's up there with those little paintbrushes you used to get in school. She's up there just painting. I was like, dang, girl. But she painted a wall, and it looked good. So what could Jesus have been talking about then? When he said, you got to humble yourself and become as a child. One is no longer thinking that you're the best. You can be good at a lot of things. But there's always somebody better. I love these fighters. I'm the greatest. Until one day, they find that one person who cleans their clock in a fight. In their mind, they're still the greatest, and they got cheated. But the reality was they got bested. You know one thing that I have learned about even watching some of the MMA fights? It amazes me how many times you will see these guys just pound on each other. And they will get up and hug. They're covered in sweat. They're covered in blood. And one of them lost. The ones that don't, they got some serious ego problems. And they're childish. So here's some things. Children are naturally kind. I've seen too many videos to prove otherwise. Or not to disprove that. They become mean and rotten by poor parenting. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your children are a result of how you trained them. I didn't train my kid to act like it. Yeah, you did. You allowed things. Or you were a jackwagon. I'll just leave that one there. But your kids, our kids, are direct results of how we trained them. If you trained them to be kind to strangers, they're going to be kind to strangers. By the way, that's totally scriptural. I'm not saying you go get in the van with the candy. I'm saying, but you can be kind to people. Somebody pulls in our driveway, what's the first thing we do? Who's in my driveway? Who's in my driveway? Why are they in my driveway? I want to know why they're in my driveway. They're lost. Maybe you could go help them out there, Euclid. Go give them an idea where they're going. Yes, that was a childish remark. God has been telling me that. When I call people Einstein, rocket scientists, Euclid was an engineer. You could give people directions. Don't get yourself all worked up as to why somebody's turning around in your driveway. Who cares? Why are they here in the church parking lot? Can't tell you. Phil can tell you the same thing, or even Angela. You can hear the gravel popping. It's like, ooh. Oh, they're just turning around. Good for them. It's a free driveway. Children will take your word on your promises. They may even trust you after breaking your own vow. James 5:12 says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." I.e., you make a promise and you break it, you fall into judgment. You will face judgment. It's not, "Well, I might not." No, you will. You will fall into judgment. Because you gave something. See, here's... we gave our word, right? Many times we have conversations that's what's made on. Our yes. James is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when you break that, you break that word, keep that in mind. John, first chapter, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. That's why our words mean so much. That's why they're so powerful. So when you're speaking to your children and you make them a promise, and then you, one, change the dynamics of the agreement you had, well, you know what? I will let you go to little Tommy's house if you do that. Okay. Little Jimmy, I'm trying to keep Johnny out of it. Little Jimmy comes in, does everything he was asked. But Dad says, "Oh, no, 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 no. I meant this." No, you just changed the dynamics of the agreement. And FYI, according to God, you are in breach of contract. You are in a breach of contract because of your word to your child. So many people don't think that matters. Well, they're just a child to never remember it. Want to bet? Because that child loses trust in your word. Your word means bupkis, because you lied. That's why lying is one of the 10 commandments. One of the top 10. But we don't want to face the fact that, yeah, we broke it. Children also rely on us to protect them, do they not? I asked Caleb a couple weeks ago, if somebody was trying to hurt his kids, would he not defend them with his life? And he said yes. And I know every last one of you parents in here are the same way. And it extends now down to my grandkids. The only difference is who's going to get there first, me or one of my boys? Probably them. I don't move so fast anymore. But I can once. So we rely on God to protect us, do we not? Gave you a great example of Friday. 4 times. And if I had been just a little bit faster getting out of here, 3 seconds was about the distance from where I was at to where that guy blew that stop sign. The other lady, yeah, she'd have hit the driver's side of the truck. The other one wouldn't involve me except being a witness. But when you keep breaking a vow, that child will become jaded and never trust you anymore. Children will recognize differences in size, shape, and color, but in general, they have no natural prejudices. They don't know what white, black, Asian, Mexican. They don't know what all that is. "Well, I don't run them people down." Well, first off, you said them people. "Oh, I didn't." Yeah, you did. Why? Because you keep running them down. If your name, if your surname started with a Mick back in the day, that blackballed you right off the bat. Oh, then let's wait till we get up into the World War II era. If your last name ended in Hito, you were carted off to a camp. Nobody trusted you, even though you were born and raised here for two generations. We can go down the entire line. Everybody has experienced racism. And it's not even racism, it's stupidity. Well, I don't want to be no hillbilly. Well, quit acting like one. And that's coming from one. I was talking to somebody the other night about that. I said, you know what? I said, I'm from West Virginia. And nobody in my family was dumb enough to marry a cousin. But I come up here, there's people married to their first cousins. I had a gunny in the Marine Corps, married his cousin. And you wonder why your kids are a little off? He wasn't from West Virginia, folks, from Indiana. But yet we blame West Virginians, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri. The reality was that garbage ran in the bluest of bloods on the planet. Go back and check out your history. You may not need to come out and call somebody by a rotten name. I've heard them all. Said a few of them myself. And not in a fun and playful way. And I am ashamed to say that I did that. But I remember what I heard around family get-togethers. I went to school in Cleveland. That's where I started. I was the minority. Got along with everybody just fine. And we lived in a neighborhood that had Italians, hillbillies, blacks, Irish, you name it. I was in the east side of Cleveland in the early 70s. So those of you who know anything about that, oh, that was not a place you wanted to be. But I remember hearing things. So I allowed what they would say about other people of color to influence how I looked at people, how I saw them. You know what I saw? I'm superior. I'm better than them. And the reality was, they were just like me. They just wanted to be judged by themselves. I've had Navajo roommates, black roommates, white roommates, redheads, darkheads, blondes. One of the reasons God sent me to the Marine Corps was to drive out the bigotry. Because I've told you before, they didn't send a white drill instructor to the front of that bus to tell us to get off of it. He was a big man. And he filled that doorway. And he did not move. He said, get off my bus. We had people trying to go out the windows, going out the emergency. And he's like, knock it off, stop. And he stepped off the bus. My senior drill instructor. I'm not for certain what island he was actually from, but Caribbean. Wasn't white. I had to learn so much about trusting other people. I'm going to be honest with you, some of the ones that I could not trust were the ones that grew up in the state I came from, maybe the state I was born in, but they had the same skin color, and they were some of the least trustworthy. So in your comments, and you say something about somebody, even in a snarky way, Your children heard it. Your grandchildren heard it. And those of you, you got a couple in here that have great-grandchildren, they heard it. And it will stick with them. So in pursuit of holiness, humility must be at the top of our list. We have to remain humble. By eliminating childish things in our lives, we actually mature in such a way that we can become as children in our heart. It doesn't mean, you know, Carter asked me the other night, Grandpa, come play freeze tag with me. We're on top of the hill at the truck pulls Friday night. Grandpa, plays freeze tag. Nobody. Grandpa's not running up here. Grandpa's not running. It's not because I didn't want to. There's just certain things that have happened over the years that prevent me from starting and stopping on my own. I can start and stop. I can start rolling down that hill, and I can stop at the bottom of it. We mature in love. By maturing in love, we can see others as God sees them, and we can see how God sees us. You have got to start looking at how God sees everybody else. I know more than they do. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I know more than a lot of people doing things. And God says, shut up. I'm not as dumb as I play sometimes. When we know or see how God sees us, imperfect, but still worth dying for, we should be able to see others in like fashion, imperfect, but still worth dying for. That's part of how we're going to get to see God, because we got to be able to start seeing others. I started growing more in my faith and in my love walk by looking at other people and seeing how God saw them. Not judging by the outward appearance. I've told, maybe some of you remember the story I've shared about a man who I saw. He looked like my great-grandfather. And I've shared about him. He was not a nice guy. He was not nice at all. He abused his sons. And he thought beating you was fun. And this man looked like him. He was tall like him. He had already turned, his hair had already started turning white. So I'm like, he kind of had his same eyebrows. And I'm like, I don't like you. I'd never met him. And you know what God did? God threw us together. Can I tell you a little something about that man? He's awesome. I call him a friend. He's got a big heart. He loves his family. And I was judging him based on an experience that I'd had with somebody. You know, we named our first child Joshua. And we stuck with Joshua. Nope, his name is Joshua. Joshua. Then he got into school and, well, Uwa became Josh. And I'm like, I get it. But you need to understand, I had already had a bad experience with a Josh. And some of that was my fault. And then we had a bad experience with another Josh. And part of that was his parents' fault. And we're like, but we love the name. So he said, we'll call him Joshua. Even his cousins still call him Joshua. And from time to time, I'll catch myself calling him Josh. I know Johnny when hey, it's Josh. And I don't mind now. But it took us a while to get past what we knew, the association we had with that name. It took me a while to get past my own name. It's an aardvark. And I had to explain to my granddaughter the other day, she's a princess. And she agreed to that. Oh, yes, I'm a princess. But I said, did you know your grandpa's a king? You are not. I said, oh, yeah, King Arthur. So I get to tell her the rest of the story. At least I've got a folklore to hold on to. But see, we judge people because, well, I had a bad experience with these people. I've had more bad experiences with religious people, but yet I'm still in the house of God. I've been bit more times by white people than I ever have anybody that's black or brown or any other color. I just don't trust them. The way they look. Like what? Are they poor? They're going to look poor. That's it. But we judge people because they're poor. My grandparents on my dad's side, to this day, nobody knows for sure when my grandfather lost his legs. Right below the knees, both of them. It was before my dad was born. He worked for the railroad, the B&O Railroad. They lived on my great-grandfather's farm. Dirt floor, and I mean dirt, not just got dirt on the floor. There was no floor. It was red clay. And every one of my grandparents' children, when they left home, they determined they were never going to end up like that. They all strived. They did many things, college educations, careers, serving the public. They did whatever it took to not ever have a dirt floor. So when you judge poor people, you're actually judging good people. My grandfather lived with regrets until the day he died because of decisions he made. He was the constable during Prohibition. He was also a moonshiner. He wasn't stupid. He knew when the raids were going to happen. Sent somebody down to Grandma Still. But you see, you can't judge somebody just because they're from West Virginia or Kentucky. I'm going to be serious here, folks. You can't judge people just because they're from Michigan. I don't care about the stupid rivalry. If I had a place to go on vacation, I'm going north. Not Detroit. I try to stay away from Detroit. If you take out that little chunk right there, too much traffic for me. But there's some beautiful things up here, and you judge all those people. Yeah, I get the rivalry. Have fun with your rivalry. It's going to be what it's going to be. But we can't not see how much God loved people because somebody looked at you like that once. I can't believe what a piece of work that guy is. You have the opportunity to start over. If you're still breathing, you have that opportunity to begin to see how God loves people. That he took a part of him and let us kill it. Think about how hard that was. They beat him. They pulled his hair out, his beard. They kicked him, they slapped him, and then when it was all said and done, to make more fun, they crammed this crown of thorns on his head. I saw something the other day that was talking about the crucifixion. Jesus died on the cross. The cross was designed to kill you in about 3 days. Suffering and pain. Your muscles are exhausted because you're trying to raise up to take pressure off your diaphragm so you can breathe. That's all you're doing is hanging there. Tendons are torn because you don't have the strength to support yourself anymore. And a Roman soldier walked up. Certainly this guy's not dead. He's only been here a couple hours. Well, Jesus gave up the ghost. And the guy said when they stabbed him in the side, and it said blood and water flowed. We've tried for years to try to come up with fancy spiritual reasons as to why blood and water flowed. How did we ever look at the physical reason? It was a physical body. And I can't think of the fancy word that the guy used, but he said when he was stabbed in the side, is it pericardium? Might be fluid is what flowed out with a little bit of blood. Something like that, yeah. He stabbed him, and he said, you need to understand what took place. He died of a broken heart. His heart was done. Well, he just gave up the ghost. He knew he was going to die, so he let it go. He didn't fight it. Why? Because he was on the cross seeing you, me. He saw the people that would. He saw the people that wouldn't. Because they're too smart. There is no God. But yet for some weird reason, at 3 o'clock, when he gave up the ghost, there was an eclipse that happened. And people had to sit and say, surely this was the Son of God. Oops. And it breaks his heart when we can't see each other through the eyes of love. Well, they stink. You think you don't? Do you know we become nose blind to our own smells? You just don't realize sometimes what you smell like. So the day we did the fish, I'd kind of become nose blind to smell of fish. Till the next day, like, whoa, put those coolers outside, pour bleach in them. But you know, I don't want to judge people because of how they look. The Bible tells me to look at their fruits and then pray for them. I'll end with this. So I saw a video clip of a show some of you in here will remember. Anybody remember Good Times? Okay, most of us in here have an idea. I thought JJ was the only funny part of the whole show. But this part right here, they dealt with some serious stuff. And it was a mother coming out of a police office. And her son is standing out there. And said, I told you, Mama, I told you I'd get off. I told you. She disowned him. I don't want to ever see you again. I'm done with you. I have tried and I have tried. And you just won't get it. And so him and his mama got in a fight. And he walks past, and she slapped him. And she walks off stage, and the father, James, he was standing there. And the kid walks up to him, and when I say kid, he was taller than him. He's as tall as JJ. He said, what, you gonna hit me too? Go ahead. Hit me. I don't feel anything anymore anyhow. He said, no, I'm not going to hit you. The kid walks away. And You could see the mama coming up from behind him down the hallway. She had heard everything. And he said, "What kind of man am I?" That I feel sorry for the man who shot my son. He felt compassion. The boy's daddy had run off. She did her best. And he said, "What kind of man am I?" Three simple words: a good man. See, we sing, "He's a good, good father. He's a great God. He's a good God." That's what we're supposed to be. And until we start seeing each other in the world through his eyes, instead of our rose-colored stained glass windows, we're never going to have the compassion. We'll be so full of ourselves, we know it all, when the reality is we don't know diddly squat. We'll talk about how Peter and even Paul said, "You need to work through this. You need to." Because what I'm going to tell you, the sloppy grace is done. That's that, "Well, I can do whatever I want." No, you cannot. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells you, you now need to set aside those things that so easily beset you. "Oh, but Jesus took it away." Well, if you didn't put it away, no, he didn't. Because you didn't give it to him. You keep taking it back. "Oh, no, Lord. They don't go to the right school. They don't have the right education. Don't drive the right car. They don't have the right hair color. They don't take a bath." So what? So what? All right, let's stand. God wants his people to be holy as he is holy. He already sees us there. For us to continue to fight the good fight of faith, just as Paul said. Paul said, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the air." Why do we think simply saying Jesus took it and walk away and act like jerks again is okay? Because it's not. And I want you guys to realize that. I rejoiced when I saw what was taking place at Ohio State. That's good. "Well, don't you think there ought to be a preacher?" No, I don't. I do not. When did we become so sectarian? They don't need us getting in there and messing it up. "Well, y'all need to have a little more order." People were getting baptized. How much more order do you need on that subject? We were listening to a message the other day, and they were talking about a study that was done. People that were baptized versus people that were not. The people that were baptized had a tendency to stay even in the church. People that weren't, they got saved, but they did not get baptized. Highs and lows all the time. I'm going to present a day coming up as soon as I figure out when we can do it. It's not going to be a picnic. I might even just go get a trough and set it right here. It might be a Sunday morning. How would you like that? It doesn't matter. They were baptizing in troughs from TSC down there. "Well, we need to be fancy." Psst. I baptized people in a pond. Did you know they pulled TV out of that a couple weeks before we baptized. And it was not a modern TV. Hey, baptism is baptism. It doesn't matter. So I want you to prayerfully consider that. If you just did it, you don't need to do it again. But if you want to be redone, we'll do it. I have no problem doing it. As a matter of fact, how many times did Perry Stone say he's been baptized? Several times. Said, I find it when I'm dealing with something over and over again, I die to myself in that. So think about it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I pray for us all now. Put me at the top of this list, Lord. I don't want to act like a child, but I want to be your child. I want to trust you wholeheartedly. I want to walk hand in hand with you. You are my protector. You are my corrector. And I thank you for that, Father. I pray that for all of us in here today, Lord. Help us to realize the things we are acting childish in. Father, bring it to their understanding as only you can. Move in their lives, Father. Lord, I know that even as a child, sometimes when you got your butt whooped, it felt like you got baptized. So, Father, if this message has indeed struck those chords, Father, send your refreshing peace and love to them. And now, Lord, I thank you for them. Lord God, I bless all of them. Bless our teachers as they teach our children. Father, I thank you for the musicians and the singers who led us into your courts with praise. I thank you for the word that you have given us that does not waver. Move in their lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.